Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
We are past Passover and pumped to get back into the game. What's your game plan? Welcome, everybody, to the Modern Jewish Home Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Dean. I certainly hope you had a wonderful Passover. We just experienced something major, all of us together as a nation, Passover. And now as we return to our kitchens, our homes, our schedules, back to year-round normalcy, it is back to business. Okay, maybe not business as usual if your outlook is a bit different since this year's Passover experience. So let's just say that on the Modern Jewish Home Show, we are doing our best to get back to business. Lucky for us, businesswoman and mentor to women all over the world, Edie Berg, is back on the show to discuss the topic of success and what qualities and behaviors are essential to successful professionals. And later, Sasha Gorelick is back in the studio with me to share her unique behind-the-scenes story of how she manages to run her Jewish art boutique, the Sabra Patch. Sasha thinks of herself as a mompreneur. She's a married mom of a sweet little infant, and she is successfully running and managing her business as she looks after her family. Talk about your modern Jewish home. Sasha does not pretend that this is an easy undertaking, but hey, who among us has it easy? Sasha is ready for the challenge. Are you? And how can we not talk about getting back to the business of reintroducing all of those so-called leavened foods into our diets and therefore into our kitchens? The thing is, over the course of Passover, we've indulged in foods that contain a lot of oil, sugar, eggs, chocolate, and what about all of that matzah? Never fear. Bryony Greisman from Mishpacha Magazine's Family Table Department is back with healthy and delicious recipes which contain grains and flour and other things which we didn't have during Passover. And you'll probably love her newest recipe, which she will debut on this show. Bryony brought a sample of her new creation to the studio, and I think it's so yummy. And I'll tell you what it is in two words: comfort food. Tasting is believing. And also, I'd love to get your input on the types of home advice you need the most. Our guest experts on the Modern Jewish Home Show have a wealth of knowledge in such areas as Judaism, organizing, recipes, relationships, entrepreneurship, living each day with joy, and more. I'm happy to pass along your questions to the appropriate expert. My email address is heather@israelnewstalkradio.com. More in a moment.
Welcome to the new Beyond the Matrix, bringing you answers for life and faith with Ira Michelson and Rod Bryant. If you listen in, it's because you decided to unplug and join the real world.
You will not find anyone controlling things from behind the curtain here. No need to click your heels three times. Often imitated, never duplicated. We are Beyond the Matrix. Join us at our new time every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Israel time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Listening to the Modern Jewish Home Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Dean, and I'm speaking with my guest, Edie Berg. Edie is the founder and producer of the Strong Jewish Woman's Summit and its podcast. She lives in Israel, and she empowers Jewish women locally and around the world by helping them connect with each other and by helping them build their businesses with local and online mastermind events. On Edie's podcast, The Strong Woman's Club, she interviews successful women of today, giving her listeners a behind-the-scenes look at how they got to where they are. You can email Edie Berg at edie@thestrongwomansclub.com, and you can check out her website, thestrongwomansclub.com, and check out her Facebook group, The Strong Woman's Club podcast page. Welcome back to the show.
So much fun to be here.
I am so glad you came back, because I wanted to talk about an article that meant a lot to me that I read on success.com. It's an article you wrote called The 15 Traits of Unabashedly Successful Women. What prompted you to write it, first of all, before we get to the content? Well, firstly, it's important to write because it's a different platform. People aren't always listening to my podcast. So it's important to be also be a writer, to be some kind of a blogger, even if you don't love writing. So I'm kind of someplace in the middle. I like to write, but it's not my number one thing. My number one thing is talking, obviously. So this is the reason why I wrote that specific article about women's success and in the way that I wrote it. So it's really just bullet points, more or less, right? So it's mm-hmm. very, very easy to read. Mm-hmm. And they're points that sometimes you don't always, they're not always obvious. Until you read it. And then once you read it, you say, oh, right, of course.
So one of the things at the top of the list is unabashedly successful women have ambition. Right. Yes. And I think it's only recently in the past decade or two that women seem to give themselves permission to be ambitious.
To not be embarrassed or to realize that they have it. Right. Exactly. As you say, to give yourself permission and to embrace it. Mm-hmm. Right. And not only to realize it, but to do something about it. Right. To go out and say, OK, I have this ambition. What am I going to do with it?
Right.
What do I love? What do I want to, how can I make the world a better place? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that's what people want, women mm-hmm. and specifically, but people in general, they want to make the world a better place. It's not really just for their own benefit. Mm-hmm. And that's where ambition can come in.
Right, right. So have some sort of vision so that even if you are doing whatever at whatever level you're at, have your vision and be ambitious. Okay. One of the items that jumped out at me was unabashedly successful women are organized. So by nature, I'm pretty organized. However, I know that I hear from a lot of friends actually that tell me, wow, you're so organized, Heather. Like, I could never do that. So there are some people, many people, who might think it's just not my nature to be organized. But in your article, you're saying, well, successful women are organized.
Right. So you're right. Not everybody's born organized. If you know that about yourself, you have to do something about it. So I'm not saying it's oftentimes very difficult to change yourself. But if you know that, then get help. Say, I'm really, really bad at my calendar. I can't take the information out of my email and
right.
put it on my calendar.
Right.
Or something small like that. For you, it's probably second nature. You don't even think about it. It just goes in there automatically almost.
Right.
So get your assistant to do it or put a reminder to do it. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has an assistant, but
almost everyone.
Exactly.
Has right? mm-hmm.
So that you can take care of that problem that you are aware of.
So even though lots of people have apps, nearly everyone has a calendar or should have a calendar, yeah. some sort of daily or weekly diary. But an organized person is also shows up on time, you know, shows up. If you're organized and you have your facts already for whatever the meeting is or whatever the task is, so that you can fall back on it because that part is done. The homework is done because an organized person gets it done.
Mm-hmm. And there are little tricks that you can do that might like getting your clothes ready at night for the next day.
Sure.
When I get up really early, I put my clothes like in the bathroom so I don't have to wake anybody else up, right? So I put that there. I get dressed there and it's warmer. So
That's true.
Small things like that will save you a ton of time. It could save you 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Sort of like figuring it out and mm-hmm. getting it organized. Small things like that make life easier.
Okay. Also, you write that successful women are constantly learning. So what I like about that is no matter what level you are in business or at work, even if somebody is a barista in a cafe, right? So even a barista or an assistant to somebody who's powerful, you can still be constantly learning. You can learn more about your business or you can learn more about the dream business that you want to go into. If it's mm-hmm. if you're a barista, but you want to run your own catering company sometime. So in your off hours, learn about how people launch a catering company, right?
Right. Or even just being the best coffee in the city, mm-hmm. right? So what you're doing, you're doing the best possible way that you can do. Mm-hmm. And the learning part is for yourself. Really, because it'll make you so much happier if you're learning. Mm-hmm. And then that will seep into further success.
That's true. Yeah, because what if your job was just something you showed up and did every day? But if you're learning, you're enriching your own life. I like that. You also wrote among the list of traits of successful women is that they know failure and success go together, mm-hmm. right? So let's say a person, God forbid, gets fired from their job and feels like a failure. And here's all that, oh, well, when one door closes, another one opens, right? But really making that real for yourself, knowing failure and success go together. I don't know if you've ever been fired from a job, but how does one pick up and move on and know there is success ahead of me down
the road? Yeah. So
Sometimes it's easier said than done, right? So it's easy to say that. But even us just talking about it, that failure and success go together, mean it's not just me. I'm not, you know, the world's first person to be demoted even or mm-hmm. to be fired or mm-hmm. or to not make money as like mm-hmm. I expected that I would be making or, right? I thought I'd be faster. I thought things would go better for me. Why aren't they? So you can choose to concentrate on that side of things, mm-hmm. or you can choose on how I'm going to change it. Where have I gone wrong for the next time to be more successful? And some of it is personality, but some of it is just being determined, being consistent, and not giving up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you shouldn't let outside situations change what's going on inside okay. you. So it's a bummer. I mean, right. it's a bummer to be fired, obviously. Right. Anybody would be disappointed, right, but right. it's what you do with that.
Right, right. And it's important to say that it's a bummer. You know why? Because maybe a person just should feel bummed out for a day or two. Like, just let it sting. Right. And then once you push through it, go out and seek your success. Successful women, you write, also choose their battles wisely, mm. right? So it's not always a rosy road. It's not always the yellow brick road to success, right?
So it never is, mm-hmm. right? right? It's never just a straight path. Mm-hmm. And I was just listening to a podcast that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was on, and it was all about her, and it was a fantastic story and an incredible woman. She said that she was given marriage advice by her mother-in-law, her future mother-in-law. Okay. And she said to her, "Be deaf every so often."
Gosh, that's great.
and so Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ginsburg, said, you know, that's good in marriage and it's good at work too, yeah. even now where yeah. she's in the Supreme Court justice. She said, that's smart advice. So this is the same thing as choosing your battles wisely, right?
Right, right. There will always be situations from without, from within that, people will not be your biggest fan. Okay, so in the time that we have remaining, I'd also like to talk about maybe one or two other tips that you have. Successful women have confidence. So that's also a little bit easier said than done. But when I was thinking about that item, it's sort of like, have confidence, at least wear clean clothes, wear good clothes, stand up straight, like at least look the part. And sometimes it really does, like an actress on a mm-hmm. stage, it really does help at least embolden a person to have confidence in addition to your good
that's
ideas.
That's what they say, that fake it till you make it. And that's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's what mm-hmm. it is. Everybody has that imposter. Everybody has that voice saying you're not whatever it is, whatever, you know, it goes, sometimes it's louder, sometimes it's more quiet, but everybody has it. And I mean, don't be fooled by the success of other people. Once you get to know them and they have the same insecurities as I have. And so you need to realize that mm-hmm. other people are just the same as you are. You're no worse than they are. Right. So go for it. And then you'll get confidence from your own success.
Yes, that even if embolden small. Yourself. Sure. Yeah. Let's wrap up with the idea that you have, that you wrap up the article with, which is feel successful but never done.
Right. So I'm 50 now. I have 30 years at least to go, and so I'm definitely not done. I'm not even close to done. And I always am curious about what's going to be. There's always something to learn, and there's always more to contribute. So let's get going.
Right, exactly. Wow. Okay, thank you so much for coming back and sharing your insights with us, Edie Berg.
Thank you so much for having me. So much fun to be here, and it's a great new show. Congratulations and good luck.
Thank you, folks. You're listening to The Modern Jewish Home here on Israel News Talk Radio. Stay tuned for more after a break.
There was a time you didn't worry about terrorism. It was something that happened in a faraway place or to someone else. But now you want to know. Now you want to understand. Now you're afraid that you might be in the danger zone. You need to listen to Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone every week, where you will find out the truth about what is going on in the world around you. Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone, right here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Modern Jewish Home on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm Heather Dean, and I'm speaking with Sasha Gorelick, the businesswoman who launched an online store that she calls The Sabra Patch. And you can contact Sasha by email at info@thesabrapatch.com. You can also visit the website, thesabrapatch.com, and subscribe to get her great newsletter. So nice to see you again. Welcome back to Israel News Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so Sasha, tell me about launching a business. Launching a business and being a mompreneur.
Okay. So it's been a long journey, and it's only been 1 year since I launched the website. But basically, it's been a huge learning experience for me. And I just thought that the idea was such a good idea to have an online store for Israeli artists, that even though I didn't necessarily have the experience in building a website and running an online store, I decided I'm going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And I've been working very hard to learn as much as I can.
So let's talk about first how you wanted to build your brand and what your vision was, because there are many websites, many platforms where people who want to buy Judaica or artwork from Israel can do so. How did you want to break away from the pack? What were your thoughts?
So my vision was to create more of an online community, I would say, as opposed to just another e-commerce store with the same sort of generic products that we always see that come from Israel. And I wanted people to connect emotionally and read about the artists who create the products. So that was my vision, and which is why I created the Sabra Patch in a way that it does stand out. And I have a blog that I write about the artists, I interview them, and we have some very, very unique products that you don't see on other websites.
Okay, so you thought long and hard about calling it the Sabra Patch. What was that thought process? Because that's also so important if you are starting a business.
Yeah, so the name is the Sabra Patch, and we actually have a tagline that says handmade in the Holy Land, which I thought was cute and easy for people to remember us. And it basically, the inspiration for the Sabra Patch name came from, Sabra is a nickname for people that are born in Israel, but I say that if you live in Israel, you become a Sabra. And patch is the connotation of either like a field of Sabras or also like handmade, like a patch on clothing. Mm-hmm. So it has that double meaning.
Okay. So you had the name, you had your vision. Now what about the look, creating the look of your online store?
So the look actually did change. I had one web developer, and we started with a certain look, and I realized that it just wasn't working. So I looked long and hard through different themes. That's what you have on WordPress. Yes. And I found this theme that's actually called Handy. Mm. And that's how we came up with the look that had like sort of a handcrafty store-like feel and give people a really good view of the products that we have on the site.
Right. So, you know, when I visit the Sabra Patch, I really feel like I'm in a store, and I feel like I'm looking at display cases. Mm-hmm. So that also was probably intentional, right?
Yeah, definitely. I really wanted people to see big, you know, images, good pictures of the things that they're going to buy. And although there have been, you know, some technical difficulties in running a website solo, thank God I've managed to, you know, deal with most of them. And it takes time to build up a business, for sure. It's not like overnight that you can just set up a website and get traffic. It's been a lot of work to get to where I am.
Right. So it's not all about the creative vision and thinking of what your brand is and thinking of the look. It really is the business of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into it.
So and tell me about the business end as far as your relationship with the artists who are going to sign on.
So I recruit the sellers that are gonna sell on the site, and I help them get started. A lot of times, because they're Israeli, like, I've helped them write product descriptions as well, and upload their pictures if they're technically challenged, which some people are.
Give me an example of where you wrote the description of something.
So one of the women that sells bags, she's from Argentina, and she knows Hebrew, but her English is not so great. So I was helping her write the descriptions for her bags.
Right. Okay. So, and then if someone is an artist who wants to sign on with you, what can they expect? What is the business relationship? There's a thing called consignment, right?
So, yeah. Okay. So how it works with us is that each seller has their own store where they upload their own products. They run their own store. They can set coupons. They can set sales. They set their own prices. And through the Sabra patch.
Really?
So so it's basically you're really supporting each small business as opposed to like some huge company that's taking 50% of their income. I'm taking very, very small percentages from each artist because I feel that I have a mission, which is really to help them sell. There's also the business aspect, but I'm growing that slowly, slowly. So
if you are the platform, you are the department store, let's just say, and people or the mall, right? Mm-hmm. You're more like a mall because you're saying that each artist runs their own store.
That's correct.
So this is to say that each artist does their own shipping, right?
Each artist will ship, most of them ship around the world. So wherever you are, if you're in Australia or the US or even Europe, or you can order from the Sabra patch and they'll ship to you.
Fabulous. Okay, great. So you do have some plans as a business person. You have to have a vision. What's your vision? You were mentioning before our segment about tourists. How would you like to see tourists brought into the Sabra patch?
So I would really love, hopefully in the future, is that people who come to Israel to visit will be able to go and meet these artists either in their studios, maybe one day they can do workshops with them and really see the creative process and get a hands-on experience. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day even have an actual brick and mortar store for the products.
Right. So is this to develop a studio of your own?
So not necessarily of my own, but I would love to have the different artists that are on my site maybe have their things in the studio.
Okay, so you have this online mall for artists. It's a platform for artists who would like to sell on an international stage. Are you also an artist?
So I'm not an artist myself. I do love being creative, and I have a huge appreciation for what people do and make, and I know how long it takes and how much work and intricacy actually does go into these products. And I love Israel, and I want people to be able to support the creative people that live here and the small businesses that are here. So
okay, so you love Israel. You probably see a lot of the country as you are going. What, do you go to a lot of festivals, art festivals or art exhibits to make contacts?
So I've been in Bezalel, in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem. There's a street fair that happens every Friday.
On Bezalel Street?
Yeah.
Really?
It's just off King George.
Yeah. So wow. I'm just thinking that's such a major traffic, from what I know about Jerusalem. That's okay. I guess on Fridays, though, it's probably less traffic.
It gets busy there. Mm-hmm. And then there's also in a place called Nachlat Binyamin, which is in Tel Aviv, where they have fairs every Tuesday and Friday, I believe. Mm-hmm. And just also in Israel, every summer there is a huge, huge art and craft festival. It's called Chutzot HaYotzer. They actually get different artists from all around the world that come specially to Israel for the summer.
Now, is this the one that's in Jerusalem near Mount Zion or at the foothills of Mount Zion?
Yeah, okay. That's the one.
Okay, that's so that's correct. Central. It is giant. It's like the size of, if you were to take Central Park in, if you were to take the field of Central Park and just put on it a giant festival. And it goes, like all afternoon, and at night there's concerts.
Yeah,
it's a big happening.
It's every night for like a week, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there's a concert every night with different Israeli musicians. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal.
When you strike up a relationship with these artists, or at least meet them and get them interested, hopefully, in selling their art through the Sabra patch, all you need is, as the average person who has a computer, you go on this website and you can see it's already a level of artistry. It's not knickknacks.
True.
It's a high level of art.
Yeah, these are very, very high level, high quality products. It's not just, like cheap stuff that people are making. It's actually beautiful, very, very, very good stuff that will last you for a very long time.
Okay. I'm wondering if you could give advice to people who are launching their own business, launching an online business. What are some of the trips and falls that maybe you've had along the way that someone else might be able to avoid if they're launching an online business?
So I think what you have to figure out when you're launching your own business is what you are good at, what your skills are, and what you're not good at, you need to outsource to the right people. So that's what I've been doing. I'm very good at content and very good at getting the sellers and talking to the sellers to join. Mm-hmm. But web development and coding is not my strong point. So obviously I've been outsourcing that to a web developer. And it's there's definitely been, you know, you have to figure out the right people to work with. Mm-hmm. And you also have to realize that it doesn't happen overnight. And you have to really sometimes overcome big struggles or financial, you know.
Sure, sure. There's the seed money we all wish we had, right? Launching a business.
Yeah.
There's also a very big factor in your own personal life. You are part of a young family. Right.
Yeah, so I'm 25, and I'm a mom of three kids. I actually just gave birth a few weeks ago,
awesome.
And it's a struggle to juggle that family life and business balance. But thank God, my husband is amazing, and he does all the washing up, the dishes, as Americans say. And but you have to be very focused. When I have like time to do things for my business, so I'm extremely focused. I get what I need to do done, and then I can focus on my kids and my family. So,
Do you have kids that are just old enough to know Ima's working and Ima needs a few more minutes to do this before I can play? Or like,
yeah,
how does that work?
My 4-year-old does get impatient if I am finishing off stuff on the computer. Otherwise, I do try and do stuff when they are either in their kindergartens or in the evening when they're sleeping. So
very nice. Okay. And I'm also wondering, so you've launched your business, you have your family situation. Then what is next, if anything, just to grow the business? Because sometimes a business can grow, but then it grows too fast.
Right. So what I would love if, I mean, I'm trying to get a grant or an investment from somebody that would really help me grow the business. Mm-hmm. But my idea is to actually grow it, you know, because I'm solo in this business, is to grow it slowly.
Meaning you're on your own.
I'm
not solo
on my
like,
own,
right.
Yes. Okay. I'm doing this business basically by myself.
Right.
And so I would love to grow it slowly, just have like, let's say 30 new artists to join at a time, mm-hmm. and then help them grow their stores and grow the site traffic, and slowly, mm-hmm. slowly just build it up. Like, my vision is really to become the Etsy for Israel. So it's a lofty goal, but I hope I'll get there one day.
It could be. I really appreciate your insights, and I wish you continued success in your growing business.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us, Sasha Gorelick. More in a moment, folks, on Israel News Talk Radio.
I am Walter Bingham. For the past 12 years, I have each week brought you reports of life and events in Israel and the Jewish world and the news behind the news. The Walter Bingham File, new here on Israel News Talk Radio, will explain the truth to enable you to counter the myths that are spread by the world's media. So if you want to have the facts and without spin, then tune in to The Walter Bingham File every Sunday at 5 p.m. in Israel, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Modern Jewish Home on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Dean. I'm speaking with Bryony Greisman, who is back to talk about some more recipes now that we have put away our Pesach dishes and put away all of those things back into storage. We are reintroducing year-round foods, and Bryony Greisman is a recipe writer and food columnist at Mishpacha Magazine, also the owner of Tasty Low-Fat Creations, a home-based business that is back up and running now that we have said goodbye to Pesach for this year. Tasty Low-Fat Creation sells over 50 flavors of whole wheat, low-fat muffins, biscotti, cakes, and all sorts of desserts. You can ask Bryony about her options for spelt and gluten-free. And she also teaches baking and cooking workshops for adults and kids. To find out more about Tasty Low-Fat Creations or to place an order, email Bryony at greisman.b@gmail.com. greisman.b@gmail.com. Welcome back to the show, Bryony Greisman. How was your Passover?
Amazing. Okay. Lots of work, but wonderful to be with your family.
Yes. Okay, so good. So we are back in business with our year-round favorite foods. And, you know, over Pesach, we've just had so many oily, eggy, matzah-related recipes. Yeah, so let's get healthy. What can we reintroduce?
Okay, so I'd like to give some recipes with grains today. First, some general info about grains, because I feel like a lot of people have the same issues. some people have trouble cooking grains to the perfect consistency, which is tender and fluffy, but not mushy and yet not too crunchy. So the problem could be the result of using too much water. The idea is to get away with the smallest amount of water possible. Another thing is you can cook mixtures of different grains together to improve the protein quality because they supplement each other's mm-hmm. essential amino acids. So that's good to keep in mind. You don't have to just get stuck on one. Also, you can vary the liquid used for cooking. Use chicken or vegetable stock, or don't laugh, but even tomato juice can enhance the flavor.
Why not? Sounds good. Mm-hmm.
As well, you can add soy sauce, onions, garlic, or chunks of your favorite vegetables when cooking. Last but not least, save any leftover grains you may have. Cover them well, refrigerate, and add to soups, casseroles, or salads. If you'd like to reheat them, add 2 to 3 tablespoons of water to each cup of grain and simmer for 5 minutes. On the whole, grains increase about 2.5 to 3 times when cooking.
So that's why it's all important to get that water to grain ratio. Okay, so what's a favorite of your families to reintroduce after Passover?
So I would say quinoa. A cup of quinoa yields about 3 cups of cooked quinoa. Mm-hmm. Amazingly, there are over 120 known varieties of quinoa. Quinoa is one of the only plant foods that's a complete protein. It offers all the essential amino acids and a healthy balance. It has a subtle nutty taste that marries well with all kinds of ingredients. Mm-hmm. An important thing to keep in mind is to make sure to rinse it well before cooking because it has a bitter coating. And although it's mostly removed before it's sold, an extra rinsing is good to remove any residue. Quinoa is also available in flake and flour form. So those that have gluten-free issues can use it in their baking. Use a ratio of 1 to 1 of quinoa to water, or 1 to 1.5 mm-hmm. to achieve the best results. You bring to a boil in a small pot, lower heat and simmer for 12 minutes. Let sit for 5 minutes with the lid on. Fluff with a fork and serve. Again, quinoa is gluten-free.
Okay, so you also have a terrific quinoa and broccoli dish. What are the ingredients of that? And we'll post that
okay,
on my website.
This is an amazing dish. It's colorful, it's creative, it's chewy, and it's crunchy. Mm. Okay, I use 1/2 cup white quinoa, 1/2 cup red quinoa, 2 cups of water, 1 pound of frozen broccoli florets, a few handfuls of sugar-free craisins or golden raisins, generous handful or 3 of roasted pecans. The dressing is 2 to 3 cloves garlic crushed, 1.5 tablespoons olive oil. I actually use a lemon-infused olive oil by Zeta. 2 teaspoons Dijon mustard, salt to taste, be generous. Pepper to taste and honey for drizzling. Now, the white quinoa has a nutty flavor, while the red quinoa has a kind of earthy flavor and a chewier texture. So I like combining the two. The total in this recipe is 1 cup of quinoa. Because I use white and red, I said 2 cups of water. However, you can reduce the water.
Okay, great. Now, another grain we can reintroduce after Passover is bulgur. Bulgur wheat, that's that cracked dry wheat. Do you have a salad? Maybe you'll give us some ingredients for a bulgur salad?
I have a layered bulgur salad. I actually did this a number of times in cooking demos here and abroad. It's very easy, and it looks really, really pretty. I even used it this year for Mishloach Manot. Bulgur, as we said, is made from whole wheat that's partially boiled and then dried. It's high fiber, and it's low fat and low cal. And bulgur does not have to be cooked. You use 1 cup of bulgur, 2 cups boiling water, 1/4 cup fresh lemon juice, 1 tablespoon olive oil, salt and pepper to taste, 1 cup chickpeas, 2 generous handfuls fresh parsley, 1 large carrot, shredded or julienned, 1/2 avocado cut into chunks, 2 scallions chopped, and 1 tomato cut into small pieces. The way you make bulgur is you pour boiling water over bulgur in a heat-proof bowl. You stir once. There are different granulations of bulgur. There's fine, there's medium, there's coarse. So it varies from 10, 15 to 20 minutes. You just cover and let steep for about generally for about 15 minutes or until soft. You drain the excess liquid if necessary, and the rest of the ingredients you will see on the website. The main thing to keep in mind is a 1-to-2 ratio of bulgur to liquid.
Okay, thanks so much for that. Kasia, you and I both grew up on that. My mother made it in a terrific way. Kasia is something a lot of families will also reintroduce now that Passover is behind us. What is a basic kasia? Again, that'll be on my page on the website too, but basically, what's that before we get into a recipe?
Okay, so kasia is a prepared form of buckwheat. It's actually 20% higher in fiber than oatmeal. It's mostly soluble fiber, which helps lower cholesterol. 1 cup raw kasha is 3 cups of cooked kasha. It has a nutty, earthy flavor, I would say like the smell of earth on a rainy day. It's gluten-free and it's low on the glycemic scale. It's high in protein too and high in B vitamins. The proportions, the ratio is 1-to-2 of kasha to water. Bring 2 cups of water to boil with some salt. Stir in 1 cup of kasha and bring back to a boil. Reduce heat to a simmer and cook covered until just about all the liquid has been absorbed, about 10 to 12 minutes. Remove from heat and let stand with cover on until all the liquid has been absorbed, which is about 5 more minutes. You can serve with a little slab of butter, sliced avocado, or sweet style with milk and brown sugar. Kasha is often coated in egg before cooking so that the grains will stay separate. So how do you do this? You take either an egg or an egg white and stir the cup of kasha in it until all the grains are coated. Turn it into a frying pan heated with a splash of oil and saute for 3 to 5 minutes. Then add the 2 cups of boiling water to this and proceed as above.
Okay, terrific. Now, you were kind enough to bring a sample of a new recipe that you've been working on, the grain noodle kugel. I sampled it, as did our audio technician. It is such a winner. In the time remaining, I'm wondering if you could give us the ingredients for that, and then we'll close out with one other recipe.
Okay, so it's 1 cup grain of your choice, which is, you can use kasha, you can use bulgur, or you can even use millet. 3 eggs, 2 medium onions sauteed in a little oil until golden, 2 cups water, 2 cups cooked pasta, preferably whole wheat, any kind that you like, 1 teaspoon of salt or to taste, 1/4 teaspoon pepper, 1/2 teaspoon garlic powder. Now, because this kugel is kind of thick, if you'd like to make a dairy, I would recommend adding 1/2 to even 1 cup of milk, which would give it a very, very creamy texture. It's lovely. Really, really easy. You just boil water in a saucepan, lower the flame, and cook the grain in the water for 15, 20 minutes until all water is absorbed, combined with the onions. Add the noodles, the eggs, and the seasoning. Pour into a medium-sized greased pan. Bake at 350 Fahrenheit 180 centigrade for 45 minutes or until crispy on top. If you prefer a sweeter version, you omit the garlic powder, keep the onions in, add 1/2 teaspoon cinnamon, 1 teaspoon vanilla sugar, and then top with brown sugar and cinnamon if desired.
Okay, great. That sounds terrific. And we'll close out with something that sounds like a great main dish, is your crunchy chicken fingers with sweet and spicy dipping sauce. We have time to hear the ingredients and then check out the recipe on my page on the website.
Okay, so it's 1 pound or 1/2 kilo chicken cutlets cut into strips. 2 eggs, scant 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon garlic powder, pinch hot paprika or black pepper, 1 teaspoon paprika. I use the Moroccan paprika, which is an oil. 1/2 cup golden breadcrumbs, 1/2 cup plus 2 tablespoons cooked quinoa. I use a combo of red and white, olive oil, and oil spray.
Okay,
the dipping sauce is 1/4 cup ketchup, 1/4 cup honey, 1 shallot, 2 tablespoons cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons duck sauce, large clove garlic, 1/2 teaspoon paprika, 2 pinches hot paprika, 1/8 teaspoon celery seed, salt to taste, and 2 1/2 tablespoons of light mayo. The instructions for both will be on the website. Enjoy.
Okay, thanks so much for stopping by with some great reintroduction to year-round recipes, Bryony Greisman. Always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you.
And that will do it for us today on The Modern Jewish Home Show. To comment on today's show, email me at heather@israelnewstalkradio.com. That's H-E-A-T-H-E-R @israelnewstalkradio.com. Thanks so much for joining me today. Stay tuned for more Straight Talk from Israel here on Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.